Hello and welcome to the Short Ball Podcast on Rugby Pass. With me today, as always, is Mills Muliaina. G'day, Mills.
G'day, mate.
G'day, mate. And I'm filling in for Scotty Stevenson. He's over in South Korea. We're going to have a chat to him a bit later on. But first off, the important stuff is TV ads. I've just seen Richie McCaw on a new ad in a helicopter carrying a giant carton of milk, which is quite interesting because I think it might be the best Richie McCaw ad so far.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so just to recap, he did his Beats by Dre where he's running up a hill.
Yep.
That was okay. Westpac, he's running through the bush.
Yep.
But all that running stuff just makes me feel bad about my own levels of fitness and stuff. And then there's the Versatile Homes, you know.
Oh, yes. Where he says, yeah. And a cup of tea.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
And he says, look at this awesome stone chimney. That was my idea.
Yeah.
And then we've had Steve Hansen, Never Lose Your Biscuit.
Yes.
Ben Smith, they gave him porridge because he's from the Highlanders, I think. Hey, you're from Dunedin, have some porridge.
Yeah.
And then Kieran Reid with the Colgate and the Swiss pills. But do you have a favourite rugby ad, even the one that have you started any as well? Just tell us, take us through your endorsement past.
I it's hard to remember back in those sort of days, isn't it? Weet-Bix was always a good one.
Yeah.
Sanitarium Weet-Bix, Sanitarium Up and Go. Actually, I was involved in an Up and Go one year. What we did was sort of just suck out of a straw.
Yeah,
good Up and Go though, eh?
Yeah,
Powerade.
Sucking out of a straw, you know what your motivation is, though, as well, don't you? You know, you're sucking, okay?
Yeah.
That's your motivation, is you want some sustenance.
Yes.
And this is how you're going to get it,
yeah.
Okay? Now suck.
Yeah, well, you know, now that I think about it, that was probably one of the best ads I was involved with because the day before, I had lost a tooth.
Oh, right. So you had a hole for the straw.
The front one, right there.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to smile and I didn't want to part where I was going to speak because obviously, you know, imagine having no tooth.
Yeah.
So that was perfect for me. Just.
So it was a great ad in your history of ads.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a special ad? Like, did you get a deal with toothpaste or biscuits or anything? Or at your own home?
No.
100 tests.
Wasn't lucky enough.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, times have changed now, I think. Hey, everyone's out for an ad. Mind you, I could have gone vitamins. Do you see that in vitamins, eh?
Yeah.
Not a big vitamin fan, actually.
Oh, he's on the vitamin bandwagon too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Carter. Mm. Jockey, did you ever get jockey?
Oh, there was no way I'd be getting down to my jocks, mate.
Why not?
Because I'm not that sort of person.
You're shy?
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. So anyway, moving on to Super Rugby. It's just started and we'll just quickly recap that in South Africa, the Stormers beat the Jaguars 28-20 in Cape Town and the Lions beat the Sharks 26-19 in Johannesburg. So similar score lines. Did you see anything that you liked or that you noticed?
And to be totally honest, I didn't watch the game, so I watched a few of the highlights. But I certainly seen a lot of offloading from the Lions and something that I haven't seen, well, that they sort of started implementing that last year. But when I'm talking offloads, the Sonny Bill styles, you know, they're all sort of looking for the offload and keeping the ball alive. So they've certainly got a different sort of mindset and a skill set as well. They've obviously been working on their skills over the summer. So, but, you know, surprises, you know, that was really, I mean, the Sharks-Lions game was probably the big one. And good start for both teams and especially the Lions because, you know, they're obviously Super Rugby finalists last year. And so to get on the board nice and early, always great.
Yeah, there was one thing I noticed, I guess, was the pace of the games. I mean, I know it's hard grounds, it's February, but both of those teams, the winners anyway, seem to be moving the ball quickly. I know the All Blacks, you know, sort of set that tone a couple of years ago. Is that the way that South African rugby looks like is going fast?
Well, I think in last year, the Bulls struggled with this. They struggled to find their identity, you know, whether they're going to stick to their natural sort of, you know, big kicks, make sure they're on the button and guys sort of coming through and putting pressure on and winning it back. And then they sort of reverted to playing a sort of expansive game and they just didn't quite get the mix right. And so But from what we're seeing, and especially in these, I mean, they are sort of attacking teams over the last year. The Stormers have been known to attack a lot and run some, you know, run in tries from all over the place. And now you're seeing the Lions do it. And so I suppose it's something they're going to, you know, nice and early. They've identified that this is the pace they need to play at. Yes, it's a little bit drier and things like that. But I think what they've sort of come out and said, well, is, you know, you defend well, but in order to win, you got to score points. And that's what people want to see, don't you? You want to see attacking rugby. It's something that the Super Rugby franchises have done over the years and been successful for them.
We will talk to Scotty about the matchups this weekend, but in particular, I guess the Blues, they've named their team for Friday night, yep, against the Highlanders in Dunedin, and there's Bryn Gatland in there at first five, some new faces in the forward pack, Glenn Preston and Murphy Taramai. You seem to think it was the Blues' year. Mm. Why is that? Why do you think it's the Blues' year?
I like their shape. I like what they've got, and not only that, I think you're seeing Preston and co that have come in, but you've got to look at the bench. You know, to be able to put someone like Patrick Tuipulotu on the bench. I know it's the first round. You've got, I think Peter Feta's out for as an injury. Nainai is on the bench as well. You've got Michael Collins. So they've got sort of cover all round, but they're not just cover that just the first year. You know, they've been there for a couple of years. And so they've got good depth. And I think, you know, last year they're a little bit unlucky with the way the format was, but I think certainly this year and the confidence they would have gained from the 10s would be massive. I know they lost the last preseason game to the Hurricanes, but you talk about the likes of, you know, Bryn getting the start, Preston, you know, they're all, you know, a lot of them are North Harbour combinations. So, you know, they'll get out there and they'll be used to, you know, the way they play. And so directing that will be fantastic. So I'm looking forward to this game because it's a huge game for the Blues. I definitely, you know, but also in saying that, the Highlanders with the new coaching setup, you know, how they're going to play. Last year, the Highlanders kicked a lot. Ben Smith's come back, you know, pretty early. And, you know, he's got a knack of scoring lots of tries against the Blues. So I'm looking forward to Friday night.
Yeah, that'll be a massive game. I reckon the game of the round looks to be the Crusaders versus Chiefs. Obviously, I'm Chiefs all day, Mills, you know that. And I don't care about all the changes. I know we've lost a lot of players, but you cannot deny that there's world-class people in there, and they've named Charlie Nata as a co-captain, which suggests that he's going to start no matter what,
yep,
where they find a spot for him. So this is exciting for me, I reckon, that we've actually, you know, with Damien in at 10 as well, there's nothing wrong with that. Two really good halfbacks, little halfbacks, but they're nippy. What do you think of the Chiefs' chances?
Well, the interesting part will be, you know, how they adapt to Colin Cooper's style. You know, obviously him and Dave Rennie are a lot different, but having lost a lot of players, experienced players too, you know, how are they going to adapt to the style that Colin Cooper wants to play? Now they've got a new 10. Damien has been fantastic at the back, and I've always sort of thought, you know, that's his, you know, preferred position. Well, that's a preferred position I'd like to see him play, but you know, it's whether he can direct guys around and things like that, and especially against the Crusaders, who we know are tough on defence, and, you know, they punish you on turnover ball. And so I'm not too sure yet about the Chiefs, given those factors, new coach, new playmaker. But one thing that does stand out is they've got a solid forward pack. And when you've got a solid forward pack, you know, you're gonna get Pill. And so and you got some, you know, you know, Retallick, you know.
You get, the best.
Oh, Bird, you know, and then
the tallest.
Oh, well, there you go. And so you know, they've got plenty of firepower up front. You know, it's how they sort of go about their back line is my question.
That's right. And of course old Sam came there. Okay, they do say that a first five needs to talk, but do they need to be bossy? What was Dan Carter like?
Oh, I know. Well, DC's was only bossy when he sort of it's being affirmative sometimes, being able to be nice and clear and communicate. And sometimes when you've got a playmaker that sort of can create, you know, something from nothing, a la Carlos Spencer.
Yeah.
You know, you often are not on the same sort of page as them. You know, they might see an opportunity and you've sort of missed it. You know, these guys are so talented that they've gone and you've sort of a couple of seconds behind, and that couple of seconds is massive. And so, no, you don't need to be loud as a 10. You just need to be clear in what you're doing with your forwards and connecting with your halves as well as your number eight. And so that's going to be a key factor for me. And, you know, keeping healthy, because, you know, obviously you've got Damien there, but the backup, I think you've got his brother and Marty McKenzie. And so it's keeping a playmaker like that, you know, nice, you know, healthy, and making sure, you know, because what happens if he falls over and then, you know, Marty falls over? I don't think they've got too much cover. Although there is actually I've lost his name now. It'll come to me later. Yep.
Just before we go to Scotty, I wanted to talk about national anthems. Right. This is Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas singing the Star Spangled Banner at the NBA All-Star Game. Enjoy. Okay, that's enough.
Wow.
So she was lambasted for that. It was too out there. Charles Barkley said afterwards that he felt like he needed a cigarette after that. It was all a bit too much, trying to be too sexy. And there have been some really good impressions of her. But national anthem, how do you feel it should be delivered? You would have heard quite a few in your time.
Yeah.
Are you a singer when you're standing there before a test match?
Oh, I lip sync.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to stand beside some DC. You mentioned him before. Yeah. Oh my gosh, he was a massive singer.
Really?
Way out of tune. Way, way, way out of tune.
Terrible.
But he loved it. He loved it. And I remember one year there weren't a lot of singers. Guys were just sort of stood there. And Ted actually came in and went to one of the meetings, and he obviously had an email from a disgruntled fan wanting us to be able to sing. And so out came the singers and DC.
Really?
Bad, mate. Real bad.
So at least he tried, okay? This is how it should be done. This is how it should be done. This is Whitney Houston, 1991 Super Bowl.
That is how it's done, mate. How inspirational is that?
I know. Goosebumps in the room, everywhere. That is incredible. Whitney bringing it home. It's a great tune, and she just absolutely nailed it. Now, you got to take inspiration from Whitney. And I know you probably can't be Whitney, but at least try and do Whitney Lights.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know?
She ripped that up.
Yeah.
It was interesting, eh? Like when Fergie was going for it, and then they were panning towards the players, and you know they had a couple of them were grinning, and I wanted one of them to just laugh their head off, but they keep composed. Yeah. I mean, Green, I think it was
Draymond Green. He had a laugh, he had a chuckle. He was like, he was caught on camera, and he just went like this. He couldn't stop it any longer, and it was good because he represented what everyone's thinking
exactly.
At home watching that.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, enough about anthems. We're going to go to South Korea and have a chat to the original host of this podcast. I know you're missing him, Mills, and I'm not quite the same, but we're going to get Scotty Stevenson on the line, okay? Everything's going to be fine. G'day, Scotty. How's things over there, mate?
Morning, James. Morning, Millsy. I've got a face full of kimchi, so I'll just get that down.
That is such a cliche, but I like that. What else have you been eating over there?
Lots of Korean barbecue. Gee, I love beef. Very marbled beef here, as you well know, James.
Yes.
And, yeah, cooking at your table, it's the way of the future.
Yeah, that's actually, it does sound progressive. Is there any talk about the North Korean cheer squad who looked brainwashed in the stands?
You'd be referring, of course, to the Army of Beauties.
Yes.
Yeah, there's an obsession here with everything North Korean. As you can imagine, when you've kind of got a crazy guy with his finger on the button on your border, and he and his family have been running the show for about 60 years. So, anything North Korean is met with equal parts fascination and anxiety in South Korea. But the Army of Beauties, that is neck level.
And actually, speaking of neck level, there's three Kiwis in the final of the halfpipe free skiing today.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. I mean, there's good chances this podcast might go out a bit after that. But when is the final and what do you reckon?
Yeah, well, I mean, it all depends on what day you're pretending you're recording this podcast.
Yes.
We're kind of time locking this, but that final is set to go tomorrow my time, which could be yesterday your time.
Okay. That's fine. That's good. No, there's time we can get that out. So of the three, I mean, Nico Porti is 16 years old.
Yeah, what a freak, right? And seriously, I mean, James, you've done a lot of interviews at Olympic Games and Commonwealth Games. And you know, he's this kid, his brothers missed out. So three of the four Kiwis made it through to the final. That's a quarter of the final field, by the way. But one missed out, and that was Nico's brother, Miguel, his older brother. And I'm interviewing this kid who's just made the Olympic final, and he's just absolutely crushed because his big brother didn't. It was one of the weirdest, toughest interviews I think I've ever done. It was so strange. It was such a strange feeling.
Yeah, that is a shame, isn't it, for the young fella? He's such a bright spark, Nico. I've had a bit to do with him with the Red Bull guys, and already signed up as a Red Bull athlete. And he's just such an interesting character, really good value. At 16 years old, it's just unbelievable. We've got a few young ones over there as well, haven't we?
Yeah, Nico was originally the youngest ever Olympian out of New Zealand until Alice Robinson was selected in alpine skiing. She was 8 days younger. So Nico is the second youngest, but now certainly it's the youngest to make a final at the Olympic Games. So that's pretty cool for him. So looking forward to that. It's terrifying watching those guys, you know, especially the free skiers and the slopestyle and the halfpipe. I saw some people get absolutely melted yesterday in that pipe. One of the local boys who was in his practice runs, I've never seen it quite like it. He compressed himself on the lip of the pipe, headbutted the lip of the pipe, and then was basically unconscious and just sort of slid over the edge like some sort of scene from an action movie and slid into the middle of the pipe. Then got up and shook it off and still managed to compete. But I thought he was dead.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on here?
I know the danger is incredible when you consider all the other sports that are played, and you know that those guys, even this The View, when they show the camera, what they have to look down at down the hill, that's enough to make you shit your pants without the norovirus or anything.
Yeah, that's right. You don't need noro to be crapping your dacks watching some of these events. So, you know me, James, I'm scared of heights, so I'm the perfect journalist for the Winter Olympic Games.
You are the perfect one. Mills has got a question for you. I think he's scrolling through stuff. Are you, Mills?
No, well, I'm just interested in what you think our chances are there of the brothers sumo. I've got to be honest.
Fine. Look, they're Bo James was sixth at the last Olympics, so he's got form. Byron being the eldest, and I think Byron, if the event was given just on style or in free ski parlance on steez. Then I think Byron would get that. You've got to understand the way that the sport works. Think about Byron Wells' second run in the qualifiers where he put in about 20 tricks because he was mucking about, really. And the judges gave him 42. Now, that's a 420 in free skiing parlance, and I think we all know what that means. So I think the judges like Byron, like his style. And considering he was injured in Sochi before he got a chance to get to the start line, I think he's got a point to prove. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Byron finish in the medals, and nor would I be surprised to see Bo James there. I think the two Americans, Ferreira especially. There's four Americans in the final, but two at the top, the two top qualifiers. You know, if they can put down their runs, then, you know, they're good to go. But the Kiwis, I think, have got some stuff up their sleeve. So I wouldn't be surprised if we medal in that event, and then the speed skaters as well. You know, I've got a chance in the relay. So, you know, so it's all good. And Team Pursuit, should I say. So it's all good.
That's right. And Steez, of course, means style with ease. I've learnt that in the past week.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Rugby Union. The Blues have named their team for Friday night's game against the Highlanders, and there's some new faces in there. Glenn Preston at 6, Murphy Taramai at 7. You would have commentated those guys, I guess, playing for Harbour, because we don't know much about them.
Well, you know, Mills and I, of course, and you too, James, know Stevie Bates pretty well. Works with us on our TV show, Team Talk, and Bates is absolutely fizzing over Glenn Preston. Just a solid campaigner, a genuine traditional number 6, but he's got some wheels on him, Glenn Preston. Good tackle rate, doesn't often miss them. Tatamai's got a bit of explosiveness about him as well. And I think having your 6 and 7 from your provincial side as Bryn Gatlin does in this game is going to give him a lot of confidence that they can cover for him. Tatamai's going to have to get out there and support him at 10, as most 7s do. And, you know, knowing each other's game, as those boys all do, 6, 7, 10, I think that's a good look for the Blues. And I'm looking forward to seeing Preston get out and get amongst it.
And also, you mentioned Bryn there, and the most excited man in rugby right now will be Warren Gatland. I don't even know if he'll turn up for the Six Nations.
Why do it? He'll be watching this. He'll just have the whole team, you know, Welsh team watching, while Eddie Jones has got his English team in heated pants. You don't need heated pants if you're watching Super Rugby. I mean, that stuff is going to get you friction anyway.
You can buy heated pants. This is
Eddie Jones. Have you not read this story about Eddie Jones? He's trying to push the boundaries, getting his England team to wear heated shorts against Scotland. Heated pants.
Wow.
Is there any depth this guy won't plumb when it comes to his own agenda? I mean, he is just, you know, it's almost like Eddie thinks he is in the middle of the Stola system. He can do anything he wants with the game, but everyone else who does anything is grounds for instant derision. You know, what the hell, heated pants? Beat it.
Heated pants. He texts his players, and now he's the referee's best friends, right?
Yeah, he's a text pest, and now he wants his players in heated pants. I think we're seeing a pattern forming here.
It's a 3 a.m. text as well. It's not just your normal. Yeah. It's like booty call hours that he's texting these guys.
Exactly. What the heck?
Exclusively booty call hours. And also, with heated pants, I mean, I've never really felt the need for heated pants, but Mills, you've played 100 tests. Would they have helped you? Because I'm quite hot in the pant region, but yourself?
Well, I just don't understand how they would work. I mean, how do you, you just flick a button and what?
Yeah, there'd be a switch somewhere.
Oh, no, I wouldn't need them, mate. I wouldn't need them. Hey?
You've got good hot quads.
Actually, they're not that big, though.
And your hip flexors. Mills is taking his pants off right now. Sorry, Scotty.
Yeah, exactly. It's fine. I was actually imagining Millsy with no pants on. So it's perfect.
What about the rest of the weekend? I think the big game is Crusaders versus Chiefs.
It's always the big game.
Yeah.
It's become the best rivalry in Super Rugby, Crusaders Chiefs. The Chiefs, after they finally got over their drought, Jimmy, in 2012, and Rennie had instilled in them the fact that they were the killers, not the victims. I think, you know, they've gone out to play, and they target teams like the Crusaders because they're so physical. Like, there is no team in Super Rugby that likes playing the Chiefs because they are a rugged, violent, elegantly violent rugby team. And, you know, I think this is going to be a real settler for both. It's a massive occasion for Colin Cooper. He's got to set the tone, and it's the Chiefs side that goes out there having lost some of its all-time greats. I don't know. I don't know if the Chiefs are going to have it this year. But what I do know is that the Crusaders will know where they want to be. They'll set a marker. And, you know, I hope the Chiefs are there. I don't think too much will have changed. But Colin Cooper is a very different coach to Dave Rennie. They've got a different staff and they've got a different playing roster. And big pressure on the shoulders of Damien McKenzie. Yes. This is the jersey he wants. This is what the All Blacks want him to be. And he's going out there against the defending champions. can he guide that team around the park? That is going to be the biggest question.
And just one point about the Crusaders is that it's a kind of depressing that Kieran Reid's advertising deals are with Colgate and those Swiss pills, because the boys don't really want that kind of freebie, do they? Mills, I mean, you'll be able to answer that. It's a terrible freebie.
There's a lot of rugby boys that do need Colgate.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, they might not want it, but, you know, there's an actual need for Colgate in rugby, especially amongst those forwards.
Are you going to call someone out here?
No.
Okay. But anyway, hey, Sumo, we'll let you get back to your kimchi. It's great to have a chat to you.
Thank
and
you.
Look forward to seeing you again. When are you back? Are you back hosting this next week?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, well, if they take me back, apparently you've sort of stamped your authority on it, sort of some territorial pissing, and sprayed the podcast with Maccone scent. So I'll have to come and scrub that off before I get back into it. But I don't know. Might just be best if you stick around, and maybe I'll drop in every once in a while.
Yeah, bring your granola, and we'll see you next week.
See you, buddies.
Okay, take care.